The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey guys, welcome to the New Warehouse Podcast. On today's episode, I have a very special guest, Dan Carrello. Actually, a former boss of mine. We worked together for around 5 years. We're going to talk about his experiences in the distribution field, how he got to where he's at now, and kind of get his perspective on distribution startups, cultures in the warehouse, and where he thinks distribution is heading. So, Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, happy to have you. Happy to see you. It's been a little while.
Good to see you again.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit, I guess, about your background in distribution and how you got to where you're at?
You know, for me, it goes, you know, back many, many years. I've been 35 years in the business in some way or another. I started out as a boy working for in a family business in a waste hauling business. So, you know, I am a consultant to the solid waste industry, as so many say, but, you know, it's a good way to learn. You know, as a kid, you really do all the jobs, and it gave me an advance of where we are now, a different perspective about people, which we now have, and that, you know, you should respect everyone's job. Every job is important, no matter how dirty that job may be or how mundane it may seem. You know, having done a lot of those hard jobs, you gain appreciation for the guy that does that job or the woman that does that job. So, you know, and I attribute a lot of how I feel about what I do and my management style to the man that trained me, which was my grandfather. And again, somebody I think, you know, so far, even though he was a child of the Depression and, you know, he was raised, you know, during the 20s and the 30s, you know, made it his career through the 40s, 50s, et cetera. He really had a deep understanding of people, and you know, he never had prejudice or you know, he never thought, you know, of people in a box, you know, or what they were like. So I think that that's what gave me my perspective. You know, I think that, you know, everybody has value, everybody has the potential to coach, and, you know, you approach everybody in a humanistic way. Anyway, through that, I, you know, worked for him, and as that business was sold, I started to work for other smaller companies, some local companies in distribution, you know, from electrical distribution to, you know, pretty much think of whatever you could think of, you know, from that perspective. And that's kind of, and Kevin's heard me say this probably many times, a brown box is a brown box.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it could be a human lung for all I know right now, or it could be anything. But, because of that, you know, you sort of, you don't get jaded, but you sort of put logic around what you're moving. Over time, you develop, you know, process knowledge. You work for big companies and big buildings. I've worked in million square foot buildings or 100,000 square foot buildings, and crew sizes of 50 to crew sizes of 1,000. So it really does change. And, you know, from that acquired knowledge of working in established businesses, that gave me a lot of insight into new startup. And I've done several new startups since then, which I find challenging, but even more so gratifying, because what you do, your applied knowledge, your skill set, your management style, your cultural building abilities really do show themselves immediately when you're building a new startup.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, we did four new buildings. Four. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of what I've learned for operationally is from Dan. And so, you know.
Sorry about that, by the way. I apologize.
Yeah, so hopefully I learned the right things. But yeah, I mean, going back to what you said, you know, about your grandfather, I remember, you know, you told me a story, I think, a couple times about how he was making you sweep the shop and stuff. So I think, you know, learning those different things and seeing the different levels, my dad taught me something similar, and the fact that, you know, no matter what level you get to in a company or where you're at, what your pay grade is, whatever, you know, you want to say hello to everybody every single day. I mean, he was a VP at a company in the corporate world, and, you know, every time I would go visit him, he would say hello to every single person. Everybody knew who he was because he took that time to value everybody and everybody's job. Because I think, you know, especially in the warehouse, it's like, I think you've told me before, I was probably quoting you here, but it's like a living organism, right? Mm-hmm. It's always changing. Things are always growing together. So being well-rounded like that and having all those different aspects is definitely very important. I think I probably learned some of that from you as well. So, you know, through your experience with the distribution startups, you know, what do you think is really going into a startup if you've never gone into a startup before? What do you think is the most important thing to keep in mind?
I think you really need to be organized. And if you don't know something, ask somebody, mm-hmm. you know, that does know what they're doing. Because a new building, you know, you're laying the groundwork for so much. And especially now in our area in particular, there's so many very fresh buildings. You know, you're coming right out of fresh pour concrete.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you're really just starting everything from the facilities piece to the HR piece to managing contractors. And there's a lot of things that the average general manager, operations manager would probably not know a great deal of. So first thing, you know, be organized, ask what you don't know, research. There's a lot of great great points, you know, even on the internet, just tap into. But, you know, there are consultants or friends in the industry. I mean, a lot of what I know are because I've asked people about things, especially in the facilities management piece, which I didn't have a great deal of until about 10 years ago,
yeah.
A great understanding of. You know, you have to reach out for that. So be ready. Be ready for the challenges. Be ready for 14-hour days or maybe more.
Yeah.
You know, be ready to sort of park your personal life for a little while and get that done. What I could tell you is that, you know, over a few months, if you hire the right people and if you've made most of the right decisions, because you're never going to make them all right, you know, and if you're able to change tack quickly and correct those decisions, in a few months you'll find yourself in a much better place with a building that really, really runs and is meeting what you wanted to meet, and you're on your way to do better. And the benefit from a managerial perspective is you have such intimate knowledge of the people that you've hired and the building that you've grown and everything about it, that those decisions become much faster and easier for you. And I've had the benefit, you know, of hiring the right people, and Kevin happens to be one of them. You know, it's you look in your past to people that you know can do the job and quite honestly poach the hell out of them. I mean, that's really what you have to do now, because you understand them. So for instance, and I'll use Kevin again as an example, in that, you know, I know that I'm not going to have the time for the granularity of inventory. I just don't.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that Kevin's ability to analyze, do the research, and have the patience, you know, and the understanding of inventory allows me to sort of not necessarily turn my back on inventory, but to trust it and let that work, you know, as I look away. And then for other segments of the building, do that. And then, you know, of course, again, from my perspective, Kevin, no, it sounded like a love fest, sorry.
That's why I have one show.
Yeah, but, you know, it's as an effective person to manage with, you know, Kevin was an obvious choice. And the other people that I hire or that I work with me, and I shouldn't really use the word I hire, that work with me, I trust those people to do their jobs. And that's sort of what gets lost. But again, I'm particular. I really want to know about people that I've worked with in the past. I find them to be very, very important. And you glean the ones that you can to take them with you and make those things happen. I think that I stumbled there and I said, people you hire.
Yeah.
So, and it's really not that way. As an older person, I know Kevin will attest to this. I tell a great deal of stories about my path. So anyway, you know, when my sons were very, very young, we were at a breakfast at a building that I was in the ops managing in. And a lot of people were talking to me, and sometimes people will call you boss or whatever, jefe or whatever, papi, and they call you things, and it's really, you know, just what they call you during the day, you know. And one of my sons asked me, you know, he said, are you everybody's boss? And I'm not everybody's boss. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm everybody's coworker. And that's, you know, along with being organized, you know, when you're hiring those people and you're touching on all of those people and your management team is, you know, the folks, again, the guy that's running the Zamboni scrubber in your building is just as important as the inventory control manager on some level. And You know, everybody really needs to work together for that. And you'll find that when you open your own building. And if you're not getting dirty the first couple of months, you're probably doing something wrong if you're not, you know, making that physical investment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, that's one thing myself, I think I learned from Dan as well is, you know, don't be afraid to get out there and, you know, do the job that the people that work for you are doing. Like you said, with their work with you, you guys work all together as a team. And I think especially with the startup, you know, you said something earlier, it's made me think like, you know, if you're looking for a team building exercise, probably starting a new building is one of the biggest ones you could do. Because, you know, like you said, like we have people that we've worked with too as well that, you know, our relationship besides just working together has grown so much because you spend so much time together and you just get to know the people. You know how people work, and you know how they don't work too. So it helps you out. And I think that, you know, going through that process with people can only make, you know, your company stronger and definitely make your building stronger as well. So what about, you know, I know one of the things that we've experienced together is kind of having people that have not gone through the startup in a new building kind of having to set their expectations a little bit because, you know, people tend to think that new building, great, we're going to be moving very quickly, everything's going to be improved right away. But it takes a lot of time to get to the level that really you're expected to be at. Overall, you would be better, definitely. But it takes time to get there. So somebody that's going into a new building, maybe that has not before, how would you say to set their expectations and what should they think going into it?
I think you have to have absolute transparency. The problem that there will always be is, and I don't own this analogy, but a long time ago, someone that I worked with said this to me, which is very, very true. Mm. No matter what, you know, no matter how smart you are or, you know, whether you have an MBA or you don't have an MBA, when you work in a distribution center at that level, people outside of there, especially in main offices, I mean, to them, you're the great hairy ape dragging your knuckles across the continent. You know, you really don't know as much as they do. You know, you really, really don't understand what they understand, when in fact, it's probably the other way around. And you have to find a way to help them to understand that. So, you know, when you start to go into that interview and somebody says to you, you know, or you're approached by a company you work for, and hey, we're going to open up a new DC somewhere, I think it's important that you really start to show them other past performances of other companies that you may have worked for or that you know of, mm-hmm. and to really go in there, you know, when they say we're going to be at, you know, 100% in 2 months, you know, you have to sort of stop that conversation and say, well, that's, you know, based on the realities of the situation, this is not, it's not really what happens. And you're right, you captured it right. You will have a better, stronger, faster, more productive, more efficient, more cost-effective organization with a new building over time. And it may take you 6 months to really see that level plateau. And it really takes you probably a year to see it do and start to excel. Probably by month 9, your team should be looking for what should I be doing next. You know, you're always looking at a way to polish what you've done, but then you can really start to, at the 6 to 9 month mark, start to look at those big chunky projects that you've had to wait on. So make sure that people understand their jobs, to make sure that your inventory is where it is, that the processes that you've developed are actually flowing and working, and then you can start to tune those as you go. And, you know, you really start to touch your 5S, you really start to touch your lean, you know, in your building, and you start to make those things happen. Because if you're smart, you would have started to feather them in since day one.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, those folks need to come down. And don't be afraid to have them come and see your building and have them understand it. Some of the best experiences I have had is with bringing those front office people or the people that don't sit in your building or have a little experience down to see for a minute. This is what has to be done. You know, don't think it's just me picking a box, putting it on a conveyor belt and shove it in the back of a truck.
Yeah.
You know, and you sort of show them what you need to do, which is important. But again, doesn't happen for everybody that way. Not everybody understands it. You can only do your best there to explain it. And not everybody will always want to understand that. They always have a different expectation. And as a GM or an ops manager or whatever level you are, you have to start to use all of that political discussion that you've ever had in your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kevin's laughing at me now because he knows I'm probably one of the most unpolitical people on the planet. I do try to do most of my, you know, conversations through transparency, showing the data, showing the reality of the situation and trying to explain it to folks. And, you know, from a logistics perspective, don't be afraid to make it real simple, real easy. You know, big numbers, slideshow helps you, do a PowerPoint,
yeah.
You know, whatever it takes to get that point across. Your best case is to try in the front end to make them understand, because you don't want to be caught as particularly in that, well, you told me it was easy, or you told me it would only take X, or you told me it would only be Y, or you gave me that impression. You want to be honest and say the right things. Don't look at it like just getting a job, because it will catch you.
Yeah.
You know, later. So, you know, be honest, be transparent, explain the truth of the situation. You're always going to drive your teams. If you hire the right managers and the right folks, they'll drive on their own. So you don't necessarily, you know, have to really push harder. Just continue to push as you move your building through and it will flow. But you need to make sure that, to your point, everybody understands starting that this has happened. And then when you hit those bumps in the road, and you will, something that you have not even anticipated will happen. And, you know, you have to reach out to those folks again and say, look, this is what's happened. X is equaling Y right now. We're going to have to do something else. You know, always have your resolution in your pocket, but definitely be able to explain, you know, why it has to adjust. But be ready. You know, if you're ready to open up a building, you should be a fluid thinker anyway.
Yeah.
Right. You should be that person that's able to understand and, you know, understand the workarounds that nobody really likes to do, but you occasionally have to.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely need to be able to take a step back and see the big picture instead of just getting caught in the thick of it. Because I think it's very easy. Like, there's so many things moving at the same time that it's very easy to like get caught up in just chasing all the fires and putting them out, which is something you will definitely have to do with the startup. But you need to at the same time be able to take a step back and look and see like, why are the fires actually happening, and then be able to assess that and point that out and try and come up with some kind of way to put that fire out for good, or at least for a long time. So yeah, I mean, I think that's great insight. You know, what would you say so that's kind of like the perspective of someone getting into like a management role or a general management role that's going to do a new building. Now, what about from a company perspective? Like, so if a company is thinking about doing a new building, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of times, especially if like it's a company that's only ever been in one building and now all of a sudden they're ready to take their step to the next level, what do you think they really need to look at in terms of assessment and expectation?
The first thing I would say is think very, very hard about that. You know, make sure that's really what you want to do. Make sure you're culturally ready for it. And honestly, make sure you're financially ready for it. I mean, a real close analogy that I have is like a remodel of your house. You know, whatever you thought it was going to cost, it's not going to cost that.
Yeah.
You know, and if you thought it's going to go right, it's not. You know, things will happen, whether it's an inspector who doesn't like something, or a contractor that falls through, or a supplier that can't do whatever, or, you know, a weak spot in your own organization that you hadn't seen until then. Most of the time, those organizations probably have a long-term workforce, and it's hard for folks to think outside of that, to think of the new ideas. I've had the benefit, you know, of having younger people to work with, and I've had the benefit of working with diverse ideas and concepts, so I'm willing to listen to that, and not everybody is. I mean, they just aren't. They're very close-minded, and hey, this has worked for me forever, and why should I change that?
Definitely.
So I think that that's what you should think of first, and before you even spend a dime on anything else, if you think you know, find somebody that does first. Yeah. Find somebody that's actually done it. You know, again, it's just like doing something to your house. Wouldn't you talk to somebody that's used the contractor before or done something? Before you start to write those checks for things to other people, find somebody, if it's even just a friend in the industry, and talk to them, buy them dinner, sit down for a couple hours, and hey, what are the challenges to what I'm doing?
Yeah.
And they'll save you a lot of time and maybe a lot of money in that process. In some cases, maybe you don't even have to move. Don't look at it like you have to. Look at it like, what can I do with what I have first? And then just be cautious and don't be afraid to sort of start off slowly with lower end technologies or, you know, something that's not quite as uber sophisticated that you might use later. That's okay. You know, all those things are okay. You know, think about it in terms of, I want to get up and running in this new facility. What can I take to do that? Understand my budget pad to some degree and be ready for that. And don't close up. You know, don't close up your thoughts to it, but be ready to understand it when somebody else says that to you. You may have a dream, and I've heard that from more than one or two people.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, and I buy into your dream until you stop listening. And that's part of what you sort of run into. People sort of lose patience with it, and, you know, why isn't it X? And they still keep introducing things into a new thing, and they forget what I believe is the most truest thing you can say about a startup or any building is it's really a functioning organism. It really changes all the time. If your building isn't changing and if your staff isn't getting smarter and if you're not channeling new ideas, even through your startup process, because you may have thought at some time that this was the right thing to do, you know, you have to constantly evaluate those things. And even as you run, as your building moves forward and as you come out of that first year, it grows even more. And if you have the right people and they're going with you, they know you're with them, they understand what your dream is and your management team's dream, they'll grow with you. They're really there. They're not just employees. Don't be adversarial. They're right there for you. And if you have the right management team and you treat everybody right, you know, they're there. They'll get your dream too. And they'll work with you. But before, you know, when you're sitting down at dinner and you're sitting across from your significant other, whoever that is, and you say, honey, I'm going to buy a new building or whatever that conversation is,
yeah.
You know, before you start to do anything else, you know, but I want to talk to this guy or guys because they know what it's like. And just be cautious of anybody that tells you that it'll be awesome out of the gate.
Yeah.
It will be an awesome experience and it will be a team building experience. And it will be fantastically gratifying when it's all done, but you will sweat and bleed a bit to make it right.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. I think that, you know, one thing too is kind of like around what you're saying is like, don't get attracted by the shiny object, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes I think some companies, you know, they've been doing something the same way for so long, and then they try to take that step, not like, you know, 5 years in technology advancement, they try to take like 20, 30 years in advancement. And now all of a sudden they're dealing with a new building, they're dealing with a new system, they're dealing with all this automation. So I think, like, you know, if you do it in phases and do the things that really are essential to take your business to the next level, not just because, you know, you saw the video and, oh my God, that looks cool, I want to put that in my building, right? So it may look cool, definitely, but you know, you have to take into consideration how is that going to impact the operation, not only from a growth perspective, but how is it going to impact it in terms of what you're currently doing and moving into a new building, and, you know, how is your current staff going to fit into that new automation or whatever it may be. So, you know, one thing that I think is very, very big that I've learned from Dan is the importance of the building culture. So, and I think with a startup especially, but with any building, having a good culture and having your employees kind of bought into the mission of your building and what the end goal is really essential. But I think one thing that's tough for people is whether you're coming into an existing building or going into a new building, you know, how do you really kind of get that culture going. And you know, I've seen you be able to do that. So, you know, what kind of ideas or tips do you have for people that are looking to see how can they get their building to have like some kind of culture that sticks with the people?
I know transparency is probably overused, but it probably makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're hiring people, whether you know them or you don't know them, I think that's important. Explain to them what the situation is. Explain the challenges. Engage them, you know, in those challenges. I have a firm belief, people don't come through your door intending to do a bad job.
Yeah.
They may have had a bad day for whatever reason. Their morning started off really bad. Kid was sick, flat tire, pick a reason. So mm-hmm. you may have people that come through feeling kind of crappy that day, but everybody really comes through that door to do their job. And whether they come through it to do it awesome, or they come through it just to do their 8 hours and go home, they're there to do that. But it's about, you know, explaining what you need to do. Don't just point and do, you know, don't just say, do this, Fred.
Yeah.
You know, it should be a Fred, I need you to do this because. And I know we don't always have time for that, don't get me wrong. Anybody that doesn't think that is absolutely wrong. Sometimes you have to just move on a decision quickly. But as you're moving through it, take the time to rewind and explain that to those folks. This is why we needed to jump on this. You know, there was a systems issue or a business case problem or pick, you know, anything you want that happened to you that day. But take the time and then be humanistic in that, you know, you should know everybody. I think your dad knowing everyone is probably the most important thing. And that's the benefit of a startup, really, because as you're interviewing, you and that management staff should know everybody. You should know their name. You don't have to know their life story, but you should know who they are and some of what they are and where they're strong and what they're not strong at, and engage them to understand. And, you know, be honest, you know, you're going to reward them for great stuff, but there's the realities of doing things badly. And I don't mean wrong. I mean something that's, for instance, an accident, or if you don't show up for work or whatever. Those things are the realities of a job. Everybody gets those things.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they do make an error, you know, don't go crazy. So many people do that. And I've said this to so many people in my life, you know, it's a whatever I'm shipping. It's a box of something. It's not a kidney.
Yeah.
You know, this is not something that's going to affect somebody's life or death, for the most part, for most of us. I'm sure there's somebody out there in a distribution network that has something that is, that is shipping something like that. So my apologies. For the rest of us, we're really just shipping stuff. And it's not the end of the world. And anything that anybody can error on or make a misjudgment on, we can fix. And if you've done the business for long enough, you know how already. And you've probably already made that mistake yourself. And honestly, as the managers or manager of a building, you should already have planned on somebody making an error. You should just understand it as a human fact, you know, so, or a systems fact. I mean, everything is humming and everybody's awesome and doing a great job and your IT crashes.
Yeah.
You know, or it could be 100 things. You always have to be ready. So it's about talking to them every day, engaging those people. If it's a startup, maybe you may have done the job with them. It's important to learn what they do so that you understand them. It's talking to them. Don't be afraid to do that. No matter how big your building is, somebody asked me once, and again, a story that I regurgitate often, you know, don't you want a golf cart for this big building to get around?
Mm.
I said, no. You know, somebody said back, the person that asked me about the golf cart says, why? You know, it's a big building. I said, yeah, but if I whip by you at 15 miles an hour,
yeah,
I don't see anything. I don't learn anything. I don't get to know who they are. I don't notice something that's not right, or see a process that maybe we could do better, or, you know, or meet the new guy or gal, or, you know, talk to my managers or my supervisors or my leads. I don't get to do those things. So, you know, send the golf cart if you want to ride around in it, which is fine.
Yeah.
I said, but I don't believe in that. I believe that you should, if it takes you, and I do this in every building, I walk around it and I time how long it takes me. And I believe that once there's people in it, once that building starts to hum, it should take me at least double that. to make it around my building, to see things, to service things, to talk to people, and to understand them. And, you know, that starts to breed your culture. And then there's the stuff that we all should do. You should buy people lunch once a week. I know it's a budgetary issue occasionally. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you to go crazy. Buy pizza, buy sub sandwiches. Do something like that. Acknowledge somebody's birthday. Acknowledge the new baby. Understand those things that are important to other people. Embrace the cultural diversity of your building. You know, I've worked in buildings where you've had 19 different countries represented, and you know, you need to do those things. That's the reality of our workforce, and it's a good thing to have a diverse group of people in your building. It's really exciting. It makes your building vital, and makes for something happening all the time. And the probably one of the most important things that I could think of, which I run into often, and I just run into recently, is that to understand your hourly workforce, to put aside where you are, and you may have been in your life, meaning, you know, if you've reached our level, you live probably pretty okay. You have a nice house, you probably get a decent car, your kids go to decent schools. You don't have to sweat the next dinner. You don't have to necessarily sweat the next car payment. You don't have to do those things or worry about those things as much. What you have to realize is your workforce at the hourly level may have the 8 hours that they're with you, or however long they're with you during the course of the day, may be their best, safest time. That one time that you buy them lunch a week may be the best meal that they're going to get. Or in that paycheck you're giving them, understand that they are probably living for the most part paycheck to paycheck, and that really counts. That's groceries, that's my apartment rent, that's my car payment, that's a whatever, and understand that, you know, that's the level that they're on. That's not a bad thing. We've all started there. Everybody does, right? It's just the way it is. But understand that and treat them that way. And if you treat them with honesty and understanding what their situation was and not sort of brushing it off, that's when they'll really start to understand, because you're there to make not only they're there to make a living, but they're there to help you to make your building hum, and you're there to help them to not only have a good day, to be productive, to give them the tools to be productive, which is really our responsibility more than anything else. But it's there to, you know, hey man, you know, you want to understand them, help them to move in their career. You want to engage them, and that's how you will, if you really understand it. It's not, you're not playing into anything. You're not doing anything that would demean anybody. You know, it's really about just understanding, okay, you know, this may be the best time. These may be the best people that they know when they come to work. It may be the safest place to be. And and that's what we owe them. You're there. I'm going to make sure you stay safe. I'm going to make sure you have the best time possible. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to know who you are. And if you want to go farther and you tell me that, or I see that and we talk about it, I'm going to help you get there. That's what I'm there to do. And if you tell me that, you know, I need a new widget because I can't do my job, then I'm going to get you a new widget to do your job. And, you know, I'll do those things. But, you know, embrace the folks that you're with in that building. Really work with them, understand them no matter what level they're on, and really just understand that not everybody is you.
Yeah.
You know, and it comes from the same background that you have.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Maybe I agree because I learned all that stuff from you. But no, I mean, I've seen the impact and all the stuff that Dan is talking about firsthand, and you know, I put it in place myself too. And you know, I think that focusing on the people, not as a whole, and focusing on them individually as well, is really important. And I think you touched on something that I think makes a huge impact, is to not just tell somebody to do something, but tell them why they're doing it. And, you know, it's not just because you value what they're doing for you, but it's because when you do that, then they start to value what they're doing, and they start to value what their role is with the company. They start to understand, you know, why it is they're doing what they're doing every day. And sometimes I think at companies that gets lost with that level of the workforce, because, you know, a lot of people just view them as like, you know, they're just laborers. They're just moving boxes around, like you said earlier. But in reality, you know, when you look at a distribution center and a warehouse, that's really your last line of defense in the company, right? Before you hit the customer. So they're the last people that are going to touch your product before it gets to somebody. So it's really important that they're doing the right thing. And I think by having them understand what they're doing and, you know, and if they do something wrong or out of the process, have them understand why they can't do that. You know, what happens in the system or what happens downstream when they do that thing out of place that they did. And I think from my perspective too, my background is in a lot of inventory. So from inventory management, I mean, that's huge, because if you have somebody that's picking and they're taking it from the wrong location, but they're getting the right product and they're not doing the same thing in the system, they're never going to see the ramifications of that, because they got what they needed. They did their job, right? But then they don't see down the road how that affects the organization as a whole and the building as a whole. So I think really, you know, investing the time to get to know those people and then have them understand what they do and why they do it definitely helps with the culture overall. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things, you know, when we work together, I think one of the best things was that we built the culture so well that it was, you know, when we need people to work overtime and stuff like that, you don't have to ask them mandatory. You know, you say like, hey, like, you know, can you work a couple extra hours? And they say, yeah, how many? What do you need? What do you need me to do? And then you start to get people, you start to see them interested in, you know, what are the numbers from yesterday? You know, what are our numbers right now? You know, people coming to me asking me, you know, how much did I do today? Like, how many replenishments or how many picks did I do today? Like, oh, I want to do this, because you start to recognize them individually as a person, and people take that recognition and they really value that. I mean, so many people that, you know, we've done that with and stuff, they're surprised because so many organizations have never done something like that for them. And like, I think going back to, you know, getting to know the people, you know, I had one experience where I think I had a group of 5 temps come in, and within, I think it was 2 or 3 days, I knew all their names and memorized them, and came and said, you know, good morning, so-and-so, good morning, so-and-so, good morning, so-and-so. And one of them, you know, he stopped me and he just said, how did you do that? Like, how did you know all our names? And I said, well, you know, it's important that I know everybody, because, you know, you guys are important to the operation. Like, you know, even if you're a temp that just started 2 days ago, you're just as important as somebody else, because you're there doing a job that's going to lead to the overall result that we're looking for. And he was just, I was like surprised actually how caught off guard and surprised he was that we valued him in that perspective, to learn his name and who he was that quickly. And I think that made a huge impact, I think, on him. And I think almost at that point, I mean, I can't say for sure because I'm not inside his head, but it seemed like almost at that point, like, he kind of was like, oh, like, wow, like, I think I might like to work here. And I think that's important too, because, you know, when you build a culture like that, then your employee retention stays high. And, you know, that's a huge thing, because training some processes can take a lot of time. And, you know, a lot of times when you have to retrain the process over and over, things get lost in the way, and, you know, it has a lot of negative effects, definitely. So, you know, we talked to Dan, I guess, about, you know, how he got to where he's at, and, you know, from sweeping shops to running buildings, right? And all over the place, and talked about his experience with startups as well. And also, you know, how important culture is. And I think that's one of his big things that I learned from him, definitely. So that's really why I wanted him to talk about that today. But I wanted to ask about, you know, one last thing. So, you know, we kind of talked about the past, present, so we'll talk about the future. So, you know, what do you think, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening, I think, in distribution and warehousing, technology-wise and stuff like that. But what do you see as, like, what's happening with the future of distribution and warehousing?
I think, you know, the technology that we see is pretty fantastic. you know, every time, you know, I go to a trade show or I see something new, whether it's on LinkedIn or YouTube or wherever, by whatever company's out there that's doing it, I can always think of 100 different applications. I think it's just great.
Yeah.
You know, it will change our industry. Will it downsize the amount of people doing what or change them? Sure, it has to. You know, there's no other way to get around that. You know, I don't ever look at it as replacing people, though. I kind of look at it as a really allocation of that workforce. Mm. You're always going to have that human piece, you know, in your operation. But when I see, you know, the robotics that get introduced or the new software programs, the new WMS programs, the new pick systems, you know, especially for small piece picks. And
yeah.
I think that is really just fantastic. You know, and that will change what we do. That will bring, you know, a different type of an individual, which it already has. You know, you're going to have that more IT-minded person in your building. They'll start to do those jobs, which is good. It's another piece of it to look at. You know, and I always just had this conversation with somebody because we were talking about, you know, small parcel carriers, and I'll leave those two names out of the conversation. But, you know, one of the excuses that was given to me was, excuses was given to me that, you know, that somebody could not deliver for me because they didn't have enough drivers. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, in a decade or less, we'll probably see driverless trucks out there.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, truck drivers, I love you. You're awesome. You know, there's not enough of you. And that's really what's an issue right now. And, you know, that'll change the industry, I think, as a whole. And those small parcel handlers will probably be the companies that will break the ground on those things because of the short runs, direct to hub runs and stuff like that they run. So it'll be interesting. I look forward to it. I like the change. You know, I'm careful, and I think Kevin alluded to this, not to always be attracted by that shiny, cool thing because there's a lot of shiny, cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, ground yourself in what's important. Mm-hmm. Ground yourself in the cost because the shinier and the cooler, typically, the more expensive.
Yeah.
And the more it can go wrong with it. And understand that. And when you buy that shiny, cool thing, have the plan B for when the shiny, cool thing breaks, which is so very often overlooked. Be prepared to support that entity, whatever it is, with whatever maintenance it must have or whatever involvement from a technological perspective it must have, but be prepared for the breakdown of it. And in any building, whether it's just as simple as a conveyance system, it will fail at some point in time in your career in that building. Whatever that awesome stuff is, it will let you down for a period of time. And how do you develop and work around it? So I'll throw that suggestion out there as you're working through your team and you maybe get through that 6-month period, start to think about, you know, and give them exercises and yourself exercises in working with your staff. And okay, if this doesn't work for me and us, how do we make it work? You know, how do we get the product to the end user? Because, you know, it's, you're it. And again, Kevin, you mentioned that this is the last line of defense, the distribution center. It's the last line of defense for you and your company to give your end user, you know, mom and pop at home or a company, you know, on a larger scale. You're their last opportunity to give them an experience that will bring them back to you or that they will compliment you on inside and pass you on to somebody else. It's very, very important. And, you know, folks out there that are opening up a distribution center or you have distribution managers, you know, think about it for a minute, you know, the reality of what they're doing for you. There's a less pleasant but more colorful way to put this, but it's the end for where your product passes through. And if they don't do a good job for you, if they don't understand the mission and if you don't have the right people in place or the right culture, you know, it will be a bad experience for your customer. You want to make sure that building is great for all the reasons that you want it to be great. And whether that's technology, picking the item, or, you know, somebody on an order picker getting the item or pushing a cart or the guy taping a box or whether it's going through a tape machine or whether it's going through a carton erector or whatever, you want to make sure your technology and your people understand and that you understand, again, that, you know, your investment in them is important because they're really the last line before your customer receives his or her thing, whatever that thing is. And, you know, let's not think of them as the great apes that drag their hairy knuckles across the warehouse floor, because they're not. They're better than that. And remember that and give them props for their skills when they do. I'm really forgetting something, and I didn't get a chance to bring that up, and it was circulating in my head. But managers, you know, I know it's difficult, but remember the keyword integrity. I know that's a hard one for all of us sometimes. You know, you get people pulling and pushing on you all the time, especially when you're setting up a new building. And it's very important that you have integrity with the people that you have to report to, and that you have integrity to your staff. And, you know, even if for some terrible, terrible reason, you know, it doesn't work out, and, you know, you find yourself, you know, looking at LinkedIn for a job or looking for a change, you know, if for no other reason, you could sort of hold your head up and understand that, you know, you've been the best person possible, and, you know, you can carry your own integrity outside that building with you, and you'll take it someplace else, and people will appreciate it, whether there's people that work for you or, quite honestly, people in your personal life that know you. They will appreciate that you are maybe a person that can rise above the actual bad things that are happening around them, and still be able to carry your head.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree with your last statement there, because, you know, I think, you know, especially talking about startups, there's so much going on and moving so quickly. You know, sometimes you can get to that point where you have this like conscious decision. It's like, do I really just move forward with this because there's just so much going on, or like, do I stick to my guns? And I think you have to stick to your guns, because you know what's right in your head, and you know you need to just go with that. Or because if you start to slip, then you know you may slip on the next thing, and then it starts to pile up, and then all of a sudden you're feeling like you know, what happened here? Like, this is not what I set out to do. So I think it's really important. I'm glad you brought that up there. You have anything else you'd like to add?
I think if you're going to start a startup, I think we've covered all the transparency, the communication, and those are all tremendous buzzwords, and they're hard to live by. Yeah. Just like integrity is probably the most important one, and it's difficult. You know, carry it through your personal life though, and realize those things. And you know, a lot of, you know, how I work with people is really, you know, I've benefited from, you know, working with older people or more experienced people, you know, and having that, you know, immediate. And I've also benefited, you know, through, you know, coaching my kids and you know, all those things, or working with other younger folks like Kevin or other people that we've worked through. Just, you know, keep absorbing that stuff. I mean, it really does make a difference for you as a manager. You know, you're not always going to win. You know, you may have the utmost integrity, you may be sticking to your guns, but somebody that writes the check someplace else may say no.
Yeah.
And you may have to live by that other person's decisions, but when you walk back into your building, you need to, you know, you still need to hold your head up and do what's right for everybody. And if you have to do what's right for that person, you have to work that in too. There's a lot, you know, there. And, you know, but don't undersell it. I can't tell you enough. I know, I think we probably just covered a lot of stuff, but wow, is it a great time. I don't care who you are. And if you're not having fun opening up a new building, if you're not making that team, and if you're not having a good time at it, don't open up new buildings ever again.
Yeah.
You know, because there is a lot of fun to be had. Again, you're going to bleed, you're going to sweat, you're going to curse, you're going to be angry, you're going to have not awesome days, but you know, at the end of the day, holy cow, is it a good time?
Yeah.
You know, it's probably the most fun you could have at work in our industry. So, you know, I just enjoy it. But enjoy it. If you're not, then stay with a regular building. Just stay with an established building. But have fun if you want to have fun and open up a store.
Definitely. So thanks so much to Dan for coming on the show today. You can find Dan on LinkedIn. Just search for Dan Corello, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll post that. That'll be posted on thenewwarehouse.com as well. So if you want to continue the conversation with him, of course, reach out on LinkedIn. So thanks so much to Dan, and thank you guys for tuning into this episode of the newwarehouse.com podcast.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.